Let's come back to our seats. I know we're all enjoying our fellowship. If you're visiting with us, welcome. And it's good to be back from my trip. I did make it on time. I didn't lose my flight, so that was good. One good news is that my mom got her U.S. visa. So one answered prayer, because 12 years ago they declined because of 9/11 or whatever, the security. But now I think things are a little bit opening up, so I'm very excited for her. She's pumped. I mean, she's 77. I coached her, and she stood in the line in the U.S. Embassy for an hour. And now, I don't know how it is over here, but they stood. You know, maybe Rachel knows, and a few of you know that, Simon. You had to stand outside the U.S. Embassy for an hour. Heavy security, because you can fake it. You know, you can fake it. They want to know you're the same person going in. Anyway, she went in. It was a hand of God. Usually the U.S. officer, customs officer, does all the talking, right? But she requested a translator. So the translator asked all the questions. Four questions. That's it. Where are you going? My son's there. Who's your son? He's a minister. Where does he work? In the church. How long? 8 years. Good. Bam. Done. She was overprepared, so that was good. She came out all smiling, gave a big hug. Hey, I'll see you in America. But she's going to come with Pam's family in June, so it's going to be really exciting, mother and son time, so that'll be good. Let's go ahead and pray. Missed everybody. I hope you are being good and praying and reading the Bible and loving each other and all that good stuff. So let's go ahead and pray. And we'll get into the message. Father God, I thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we don't know what happened last Sunday with the Arctic blizzard. Kind of affected everybody in Canada, all over Michigan. A lot of churches were closed. But God, I appreciate the faithful who came here, but also those who were worshiping all around Michigan. Thank you for keeping us safe. Lord, a special prayer goes to Ron as he had a stomach pain today and had to rush to the hospital. I pray, God, you be with him and Nancy, that cure, bless it, do a healing this morning. God, as we look at the book of Deuteronomy, as we look at the book of Moses, and how you spoke through him and then through the people and to us today, I pray, God, that we will get a vision, that we will learn what it means to really love you with all our heart. God, I thank you for this morning. Open our minds and our hearts as we get flooded by the Word of God. Love you. In His name we pray. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 10. For those who are new or visiting, I want to welcome you. We've been looking at the last few weeks about what it means to really get engaged in our walk with God. Being engaged. Now, for those who are married, you know what it means to be engaged. You're sealed it kind of thing, right? And then on the day of the wedding, you really seal it when you say, I do. So God wants that kind of commitment. To be engaged with Him. One-on-one. You and me, buddy, that's how God wants it. And that's what we've been studying out of the book of Deuteronomy, to connect more and more. And we learned a lot of, quite a few points over the last few weeks. But I heard Clay did a great job, and Brent did a great job. So thank you, Jesus, for them, their hearts. In Deuteronomy 10, let's look over there and pick up reading. And the first point is about fearing the Lord and loving and obeying Him. Pick up reading verse 12, chapter 10. And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, to love Him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and observe the Lord's commandments and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good.
I mean, the whole Bible can be summed up in this few, three, four verses. You know, sometimes people ask me, so what do I need to do in the church? What do I need to do in my Christian life? What should I do? And you know, it's and I kind of direct them to the Word of God. All you have to do is fear the Lord, love, obey, and serve Him with all your heart. And then they go, that's it? Yeah, that's it. But what it means to really fear the Lord, it's a lot more deeper than you think it is. Because when you think about fear, like, oh man, he's going to smite me down. No, he's talking about a healthy fear, a reverent fear. That whatever decisions you make, you collaborate, you work, you inquire, you pray. God, if it's your will, let me go to Cornerstone. God, if it's your will, let me take that job in Grand Rapids or Big Rapids or Kalamazoo. God, if it's your will, let me start the Bible Talk. Let us do great things for you. We are inquiring. We are praying through it. I thought hard about, should I bring my mom here or not? I inquired of the Lord, prayed, because I know the work involved in that. It took me 2 months to put up all the paperwork. That was my big project, Jan and Feb. They wanted every information about me. I mean, they know everything about me now. How much I make, where I live, what's the value of my home. They know all about my mom, the bank accounts, how much money we have, what we don't have, where she lives, where I live. Because I got to sponsor my mom. But I had to pray. I had to give it over to the Lord, only if you want it. And every door opened up. And you see one door open, you go in, you see another door, you open it like, okay, man, all right, you get confident, right? And then you're expecting more doors to open, and by the way, bam, done. That's how God works. And God is saying, it's for your own good. If you just fear me and love me and inquire of me and get engaged with me, then I will do great things for you. We continue in verse 14. To the Lord your God belong the heavens, even the highest heavens, the earth and everything in it. Yet the Lord set his affection on your forefathers and loved them, and he chose you, your descendants, above all the nations as it is today. Circumcise your hearts. It's not outward. It was outward, but in New Testament it is inward. You don't chip away your heart, but actually you make changes in your heart. Therefore, and do not be stiff-necked any longer. And I had a 16-hour flight. At the second flight, I was having a stiff-necked. And I tried to lean. You know, these days in the international flights, you have the seat, you have a headrest, not just a headrest, but you have another, like where you can curve the headrest. And I'm leaning on it. I'm leaning on this side. And this girl next to me, she didn't use any of the headrest because she was short. And she was like going all the way like this and all the way like that. I was like, man, don't touch me, you know. But after all that, I was having a stiff neck. And everybody around me were like, well, I'm having a headache, I can't sleep, I can't do this. People are just talking. And I'm rubbing my neck. Oh, Lord, get this out of my... How many more? 5 more hours. I don't want to drink too much coffee right here, caffeinated. But anyway, it's all gone. A little bit jet lagged. That's okay. If I fall asleep, don't worry. I'll be good. Yeah? Do not be stiff-necked any longer. So they were before. Right? You know, the Bible talk about stiff neck is about you don't listen to God. You have a stubborn heart. That's a deep study by itself. what it means to be stubborn before God. And God will say, you know, don't do that. Don't, guys, listen, don't do that. Verse 17, for the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords and great God, mighty and awesome, who shows no partiality and accepts no bribes. You cannot bribe God. Amen. He defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the alien, giving him food and clothing. And you are to love those who are aliens, for you yourself were aliens in Egypt. So God is saying you were an alien before. But now you're saying, now that you changed your life, you don't have to be an alien, a foreigner, or an outsider, because you changed your life. If you look with me quickly in Ephesians 2:19, we'll come back. I haven't played ping pong for a month. I need to get back. All right, Ephesians 2:19. And here Paul's talking to the church in Ephesus, and the whole book of Ephesians is about the body of Christ. In chapter 2, verse 19, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household. You see the language here? God is saying when we change, when we make that decision to become a follower of Christ, we repent, we change, we're no longer stiff-necked, we're not stubborn anymore, then you are part of God's kingdom. Paul makes the same argument there. You're part of God's family. You're a family. Not family of aliens, but family of repentant aliens. Amen? And then Deuteronomy, God talks about, it's time now you also go back and love the other aliens and welcome back in. Isn't that a beautiful message? It's called the agape love. As I talked about a few weeks ago, agape love. It's hard to love foreigners. It's hard to love people who are looking different than us. I mean, think that an alien, or weird, what a weirdo. You know, I'm sure maybe in our head, maybe you don't say it, but sometimes we feel, what a strange guy. Are you willing to love that strange guy? I was a strange guy before, but somebody loved me for who I am. And I could change. You could change. What if everyone in this room decide that I'm going to show that same agape love to another alien, another foreigner, somebody different? Wouldn't that be powerful? That would be powerful, isn't it? God did His job. He came down, He showed His love. He came down as a son. As a human being, He did it. Now we change, we borrow His Spirit, His Word, and we practice that wherever God puts us. Whether in Cornerstone, or Calvin, Kalamazoo, or Kentwood, or Wyoming, or Rockford, or Ada, West Michigan, or downtown, or wherever God puts you. And I think too often we look at people and say they're an alien and we pull away. But God is saying, don't pull away, love them. Oh man, that's a hard teaching. It's a hard teaching, isn't it? Now you can look at it and say, well, that's not for me, I can't do it. Or, let me try. Let me try. That's the greatest joy I get when I decide to love somebody who's not like me. If you haven't practiced that, I want to encourage you to practice. Start with a hi. Hi. Hi.
How are you? How are you doing? All good? All good. Do you need anything? Yeah. I want to give an invite. I want you to come and join us for church. We got throughout the week. Not just Sunday. Come and join us for a Bible talk. It's that zeal and embracing the scripture, saying, I'm going to show that agape love to another alien doesn't look like me. Amen to that. In chapter 11, next point, and so here in Ephesians 2, I want to make one more point here, is your identity should be in Christ and not in the world. My citizenship is with God. And my identity is, oh, I'm a chaplain, I'm an evangelist, I'm an American, I'm a Gold Star Costco member, here's my card. We do that. I'm a teacher, I'm a student, I go here, I do this, I'm a software IT, I'm this, right? But do you say that I'm with Christ because I'm free? Not say I'm perfect. I'm ready to pull out the card. I'm an evangelist. You know what? Our identity should be in Christ. And that's what God is saying right here in Ephesians 2. He said you're different. And you're different, you know it. You're not going by you because you died. God is working. When God is working, God works powerfully. He'll blow your mind away. Totally. You know, it was so refreshing. 2 weeks ago, I was in at a men's camp. All the dads and the boys came, and we had a blast. We had a blast. It was so refreshing to play soccer with the boys and train them and teach them the next generation and train the dads. They're inviting me to come back, do another retreat. So if any of your dads and sons want to go, talk to me. We'll plan it out. But they want to change, they want to grow, they want to become more Christ-like. And brothers and sisters and friends, if more you put your identity in the world, it's going to mess you up. Because it doesn't last. It doesn't. I'm an engineer. Yeah, three months later, you're laid off. Oh, I used to be an engineer. And we associate that. We want to feel good. We want to put our confidence. At the end of the day, that's what it is. We want to feel good. It's all about feeling good. God is saying, you know what? That's you. You die and let the Spirit, God's Spirit, work powerfully. Secondly, remember the great things. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. We'll wrap it up with this point. In Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1, love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commandments always. You see that consistency? Not one day, not one year. Not when I said, you know, when I was 12 years old, I said, Jesus, Lord, I love the church. I did incredible. How are you today? Well, I'm 22. Well, I'm 32. Well, I'm 52, and I used to be more happier. Hear the God saying, always. Consistently, every day of our life. So we need each other. We need God. We need accountability. We need a triad. We need accountability with each other. Right? We should welcome that.
Because then we won't become consistent.
The next verse, God says, remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, His majesty, His mighty hand, His outstretched arm, the signs you performed and the things you did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. What he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them. Did you know that when you love God and when you do great things for God, God overwhelms the enemy? He goes ahead of you. He wants to use you and put the enemy down. If you don't love God and close to God, the enemy, Satan, will overwhelm you. Something is always happening. Don't kid yourself. Either you're winning with God or you're losing with Satan. You're losing, but he's winning. Satan's winning. So God wants to use you. And he's saying, remember. Remember what I did for you. He goes on. He overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, and how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. Permanent damage there. It was not your children who saw what he did for in the desert until you arrived at the place, and what he did at Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth wide in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. Can you imagine that? I can't imagine that. Earth just being opened up. And God saying, listen, you saw that. It was a miracle. I did it. But it was your own eyes and saw all these great things the Lord has done. Observe therefore all the commandments I give you today so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you may live long in the land and the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. God's saying, remember what you saw. Your kids didn't see it. You saw it. I brought you out first. Never forget who taught you the Bible. Never forget how those days when they taught you and how you repented, how you let go of your life, your old sin. I remember when I was taught the Bible about change, I couldn't give up bad language. Because all my friends, Christian, non-Christian, all aliens, everybody did the same thing. And I remember looking at the Word of God and saying, you know what? I will not do that. It was hard. That means I got to leave all my friends, bad ones, and then come out and become his follower and then call them to the side. God did great things in my life. In the month of May, I want to share my missionary journey, how God pulled me out of this world. A time of reflection, a time of connecting with God. And I'm using month of May as a missionary May as we follow the great example of Lansing Church. We're going to learn, we're going to connect with God, and once we're connected, we're close to God, then we can actually reach out to other people. And unless we are at heart changed, we cannot help anybody else. Our insecurity, it overwhelms us. Now God is saying, set your foot out there. I will give it to you. I will give it to you. You know, when I think about Kalamazoo, I look at the Kalamazoo story. It started out with Lauren. It is, whether you like it or not. Don't nod your head, no. And before you know it, Madison shows up.
because Madison's mother told her, make sure she goes to church. Remember that? And now we have open doors. Now Dave's in town, and we got a whole family, and Evan, and now we have Bible talks. Now people are coming out, and it's good to see mother and daughter coming out, and Bible talk, and God's opening doors. It's a story. It's happening. But if you don't set your foot, it's not going to happen. In church, I want you to set your foot, step out in faith like Peter did, out of the boat, out of the comfort zone. Step out in loving, in giving, in talking, in conversation. This trip with my mom, I had some deep talks with my mom. Things I've never talked for 30, 40 years. And she was cool with it. Amen. And she's asking more deeper stuff with me. And I can't wait for her to come here and get more deeper talk to the family. But I am setting my foot new, uncharted waters. Are you with me? It's scary because you may fall, but God will pick you up. And so today, in conclusion, we talk about two things. Number one, let's practice agape love. Let us do that. Remember, we were an alien before, but now when we change, we're different. Don't go back to your old life. I heard a few of my friends went back to their old life. It hurts my heart. And they throw away the truth. It really bothers me. Because they're not hurting me, they're hurting God. They're walking away. And secondly, let's remember great things what God has done and is doing in your life, in your marriage, in your kids, in your school. You know, you get a good grade, hey, praise God, well, that's a great thing. Celebrate. Celebrate grades. Even if it's D, celebrate, you're going to get C one day. You got to do it. You got to pick yourself and say, you know what, I'm going to work harder. If you got C, I'm going to get a B. If it's a B, I'm going to get A. But don't go backwards. Don't throw in the towel. One of the guys who was studying the Bible in Jan, great guy. In Calvin. Great guy. Awesome. Studying the Bible. The next thing I know, 2 months later, he quit. He quit Calvin. He left. Because he's bored. I haven't seen him. I want to see him. I want to encourage him. He lost heart. When the going gets tough, what do? You pray, read the Bible. Your character is being tested. That's what it is. It's tough because our character is not ready for that journey. Actually, if you look at the Bible in 1 Peter, we don't have time right now, but God's preparing you for the next journey. I look at my journey, what I did in Oklahoma, God was preparing me for the mission field in India. And what God did in India is preparing me for Chicago. And what God did in Chicago is preparing me for Michigan. And what God's doing right now is preparing me for, I don't know. That's faith. So what's God doing in your life right now is preparing you for the future. So don't walk away. Don't quit. Don't run away. Embrace the challenge. Amen? Let's go ahead and pray at this time, and we'll take the bread and the wine to remember the cross. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we stand in awe with what you have done with the people of Israel back in the day. great and mighty deeds and awesome deeds. Father, you wanted them to remember the great things. God, help us remember the great things what we have seen. Not to walk away, but God, embrace it, to be grateful, to be thankful, to pass on to the next generation. Father, we were an alien before, but God, help us to remember how we came and changed. How our minds are futile. We were in sin. And then finally, we saw the truth. And help us, God, to love another alien, another foreigner. Be able to love them for who they are. Because that's what you did for us. Father, help us, God, to have the strength to love. I hope that this week will be a week, a beautiful weather, that we will go and be able to embrace the scriptures deeply. That we will read and we will remember what we have done and all the blessings done in our lives. Father, help us, God, to connect with that blessing. All the great things you've done. How you overwhelmed the enemy and he gave us the victory. Thank you for the victories this year so far. Help us, Father, to trust you and obey you and fear you with all our heart, all our mind, and all our soul. As we take the bread and the wine, which reflects, which reminds us, God, of your death, burial, and resurrection. Help us examine our heart, make that change, make that decision. And God, if there's anybody in this room that needs help or guidance or counseling, that they will be open. They will initiate a Bible study, initiate a time of mentoring. God, prepare us for the next journey. We love you so much. We thank you for the blood of Jesus. It washes our sins away every single day. Father, we love you. In his name we pray. Amen.